Bright sunny start to this Wednesday, 11 minutes after 7 o'clock. You know, you've heard this cliche here. I've used it. Educators have used it. But it really is an apt comparison to how education transitioned from being in the classroom one day to suddenly being online the next. And it's just like building the airplane as it's hurtling down the runway. That's kind of what it has felt like for teachers, for their students, for parents, certainly over the last two and a half months. Joining us right now, St. Clair County RESA Education Technology Consultant Kristen Day. Kristen, good morning.
Good morning.
Did it kind of feel that way, like you were building the plane while it was heading down the runway?
Absolutely, yes. And half the luggage was back at the airport and all sorts of other crazy things that you have to navigate, yes.
But isn't it amazing how teachers and students and parents have all kind of worked together, and while it maybe hasn't been easy and it hasn't been perfect, kids have still been learning.
Yes, you know what, you had said it perfectly. Yep, because everyone has come together, and we really don't have a situation like this ever, you know, that we've lived through. And so it's been pretty remarkable how everyone's pulled together and been doing the best for students. And, you know, teachers have always been a super adaptable, resourceful group, but it's just amazing how, you know, they're working nonstop trying to connect with families and make sure students, you know, health and well-being is intact, and also that they're having some, you know, enrichment learning or extending kind of what they were, where they were at in their curriculum when school is closed. But, yeah.
Did it help, Kristen, that some of the infrastructure was in place already? Not that you were necessarily prepared to go day to day with all online learning, but some of the tools were already there, weren't they?
Yeah, no, I do feel like that is very true. So, you know, and some students already had devices they were taking home, but by and large, students all had, you know, school-issued emails that gives them access to, say, like Google's productivity suite. So they have software that's basically like Word and Excel and things like that. So it was, you know, in an online platform. Many teachers were only using Google Classroom, or they were launching them. It was just something that the students had a frame of reference with. But, no, you're right. It was more about, you know, adjusting what the processes and procedures were and how, you know, students would be hearing from teachers and things. So it was just more about kind of putting in new routines and procedures into place, but not necessarily a lot of brand new tools or software.
A lot of us who have had to transition our work to, you know, off-site, and we're working online now, are finding that we're, you know, getting this Zoom fatigue where we're in these online meetings all day, every day, and it's a lot. How do kids cope with maybe an oversaturation of technology?
You know, yep, Zoom fatigue certainly is a thing. I can tell from, you know, most of my experience, but you know, a lot of it is, I feel like teachers are being very cognizant of knowing that, you know, when the students are doing these virtual meetings, it's so much about connecting with their peers, because that was such a constant for them. And students had, you know, in a lot of ways, a lot of freedom to socialize and interact with their peers all day long, you know, lunch and recess and class and things like that. And that's something that has been, you know, a home shift when you don't have that anymore. So I think the teachers did a really good job of keeping it about connection, keeping it fun, and just kind of letting students kind of share different things that are happening with them, so they can still have that same, you know, not same level of connectivity, but something that's as close as what we can get right now.
The school year is winding down. There's not going to be as many demands on kids in the weeks ahead as they and teachers take a little bit of a break. What advice do you have for students and parents through the summer months as far as the use of technology goes?
You know, so I was thinking, you know, it's always a good idea to have kind of, you know, the expectations laid out. So there's a couple of sites that will refer to it as like a family media plan. And so maybe if that's something that you've had those discussions before about, when, you know, what's the device curfew? You don't have to be in bed maybe as early as you go for school days, but you don't, you know, certainly don't want your Communicating electronics, you know, all through the night and things. But, or just what are those times a day that we will reserve for, you know, not having screens? Or screen time is really, it's not all created equal. So it's just about finding that balance of having that entertainment and that connectivity and those things that they want to do to kind of decompress after a long school year, but still making sure that that isn't hindering kind of some of those other opportunities to get outside and, you know, and be a little more active. But, you know, right now with so many things, it's, you said it before perfectly, it's like nothing is perfect. We just have to do our best, and it's good to have a conversation, maybe keep, you know, start a little, you know, do a little brainstorming with your kiddos about, you know, kind of a summer bucket list of things they would either like to learn or do or experience in, you know, within our, you know, our current constraints. But I just feel like that would be a good way to kind of do some brainstorming and getting on the same page versus running into a problem and then trying to reel it back in. That's always the more challenging part versus kind of, you know, have getting on the same page about expectations and things ahead of time. I think that would be my big piece of advice. And parents, and we all get to cut ourselves a little slack. So students are, you know, missing out on things like summer baseball and different things that may not be happening. So we do got to cut ourselves a little slack as parents and be a little bit flexible like we have been. So, you know, that would be the other piece, too, is that, you know, we might be engaging in more screen time than we normally would, but, you know, it might not be a totally a bad thing because, again, that's a way a lot of kids are connecting with their friends and things that they're not seeing face-to-face.
Right, yeah, such a tough time for kids because that's such a big part of childhood is connecting and playing and being together and sharing time together and to have that suddenly taken away. That's really rough on them.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I guess when you're a kid, you don't feel like you have all this freedom, but when you are a kid, you know, your job is being a kid, so they probably have way more freedom than they thought they had. But now, you know, those things have been clamped down in a way that, you know, they've always just kind of had these things here, summer recreation programs, going to camp and doing things. And, you know, and that's in many cases not an option. But if anything, you know, when all these things, when things kind of return to some sort of normalcy, people, you know, kids will be feel like we're going to take things, you know, we won't take things for granted, and we'll really always look back and, you know, think, wow, that was crazy, but we learned a lot from it, and it really made you kind of, you know, your life a little fuller when you got to have some of that freedom there.
We're talking with Kristen Day, Education Technology Consultant, St. Clair County RESA. Kristen, what do you think school is going to look like in the fall? And I know nobody really has the exact answer. We got to kind of wait till we get there, don't we?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So, yeah, now schools are working really hard, you know, trying to continue learning and finish out this school year, but also, doing some kind of strategic planning around what it could look like in the fall. And, you know, there's multiple scenarios. So they're actually planning for, you know, multiple scenarios that could happen or may not happen, but you have to, you know, start having those conversations now. And, you know, but yes, that's another big brain drain too, because you're really doing a lot of work and it may, you know, you always want to have a plan and you want to be really ready to implement it, even if it doesn't end up happening, but got to do the work.
Yep. Absolutely. It's been an interesting year and more interesting times ahead, I'm sure, Kristen. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.